Well, hey, welcome back to 30X Day 19. Today we're going to be looking at relationships, primary relationships. Hopefully you've started using some of the tricks and tips from yesterday and don't not know and but are removed from your vocabulary and you're focusing in on what it is you do want in your life, in your relationship, in your business, and in your wealth. Today we're going to examine the subject of relationships. And you know, it's really interesting to me that obviously we're all looking for or wanting or going to have a primary relationship in our life. Best friend, husband, wife, you know, we're going to have these relationships. The question is, how many people actually take time to study what it takes to have a good relationship, read a few books on the subject, and study different things around it? You know, that to me has always been an interesting factor, that people don't study books on dating and they want to go out on dates and they wonder why they're no good at dating. They want to have a relationship. They don't read any books on relationship or parenting or any of these sorts of things. So today we're going to look at relationships, tomorrow friendships, and the day after that we're going to look at parenting and what it takes to be good at all of these things. So when we look at a relationship, first thing we have to understand is that relationships take work. They are not going to fall into place magically. They're not going to be something that just happens whether you like it or not. They're going to take work. If you want to build a great relationship, where's the first place you have to work? First place you have to work is you, okay? Not them, not the relationship. The first thing you have to do in a relationship is work on you. See, understanding what it takes to be a good partner, what it takes to be a good spouse, what it takes to be good in the relationship, and thinking back to, okay, what are the top 10 things that it takes to have a good relationship? How do I need to improve? What do I need to get better at to be better in the relationship, to be a better partner? You know, often it's said that relationships are 50-50. My experience is that, and by the way, I've never been perfect at relationships. You know, I just want to give you my experience and what I've learned over the years from what I've studied and what I've implemented. My experience shows that relationships aren't 50-50. They're 100-100, okay? Each one of you must give 100% at all times, otherwise it's going to struggle. If one of you is given only 50% and the other one's given 150%, they can't do it. You can only give 100%. So think back to, you know, where is it you need to get better to build the relationship? What is it that you need to do to become better within that relationship? And it could be communication. It could be just empathy. It could be so many different aspects to it. But the point is, the first work on any relationship is self-work, is building you, becoming better you, so that you add more value to the relationship. If you don't work on you, you don't add more value into the relationship. Therefore, it's hard for the relationship to keep getting better. Okay? You know, every relationship, and what you got to remember, I think that the biggest part of having a great relationship is remembering you're different. The two of you are different. If you were the same, one of you is useless. One of you doesn't need to be there. You know, you are different people, and you got to celebrate the differences. A wise man once said to me about relationships, he said, you know, look, when you have a partner or a spouse, there's going to be 10 great things about them and 10 annoying things about them. And it doesn't matter whether it's that person or another person. There'll be 10 great things and 10 annoying things. If you move from one girlfriend to another girlfriend, one boyfriend to another boyfriend, they're still going to have 10 great things and 10 annoying things. The question is, do the 10 great things outweigh the 10 annoying? You know, and you've got to put your focus and energy onto the 10 great things, not, as we learned in Law of Attraction yesterday, not put our energy and effort onto the 10 annoying things, okay? Will your spouse have 10 things that annoy you? Yes! How do you know that? They're human. How do you also know that? They're different to you. You also have 10 things that annoy them, okay? And it's not about just minimizing those 10 things. It's about maximizing the 10 great things. What are the 10 things that you do that are great, that they love? See, there's always going to be 10 things that annoy them. You fix one, there'll be another one. Don't panic about it. There's always going to be that. But it was interesting when the gentleman I had that conversation with, who's, you know, married for more than 50 years, and you sit down and you start thinking, you're probably right. 10 good things, 10 negative things. Doesn't matter which person I'm with, they're going to have 10 and 10. Question is, do I put my focus, energy, and effort onto the 10 good things or the 10 negative things? being different is good. Celebrate the differences. Know that the differences is part of the relationship. Yes, it'll create some level of tension, especially once you got kids and stuff. However, it's what makes the relationship work. It may not be that opposites attract, but it's definitely that different people attract. So, in a relationship, there is a great thing called the emotional bank account. Covey wrote about it. A bunch of people have written about emotional bank account over the years. And what we're looking at with the emotional bank account is deposits into their emotions. How much do you have deposited? Not a financial bank account, but a feelings bank account. How much have you deposited into their bank account? If you've done 100 great things this week and you mess up, there's a pretty good chance that life's just going to be okay because the emotional bank account is full, okay? The love tanks are full, if you want to look at it from the love tanks perspective or emotional bank account, whichever methodology you want to think of it with. However, if you've been withdrawing, you've been messing up, and you haven't put any deposits in lately, then all of a sudden it's going to be a challenge where you say, hey, you know, we need to put some deposits into the emotional bank account. We need to make sure they feel loved, that they actually know it. And each of us feels love in a different way. And when you go and look at, you know, Gary Chapman had a groundbreaking book called The Five Love Languages, and you can go to his website and take a test on which love language suits you the most. You can look at it for your kids as well, and the apology languages now. There's a whole bunch of things. His five love languages that he goes through, and I'll go through them in his order, is words of affirmation. So positive words said about some people. Some people feel more loved by being told great things about themselves than through other methodologies. It's their primary love language. Others, it's acts of service, like doing things for them, doing the chores around the house, the honey-do list, the getting things, helping them out with stuff. Actually doing things, they feel more love when you do stuff for them. The third one is gifts, receiving of gifts. Some people feel the most love when they receive a gift. And it doesn't have to be a big gift, a major gift, it's just a gift. It's when they receive things, they know that that's their love language. Now, of course, we all have all five love languages. It's just primarily one of them is different for, or the high one for most people. Quality time is very much on the list. This is the fourth of the love languages, quality time. I know for my wife, quality time is highest on her list. Hanging out with her when she's doing simple things like cooking dinner, hanging out with her, that to her is the most important. If she wants to go watch a movie, even if it's not a movie I want to watch, hanging out with her is important, doing that quality time. The fifth one is physical touch. So intimate physical touch. It doesn't have to be fully intimate. It can just be a hug. But read Gary's work on this to understand where you sit and where your spouse sits on this. Now, the reason I bring it up is if you're going to deposit into the emotional bank account, if you do it the way you feel loved the most, like for me, I kind of like words of affirmation. I'm an auditory person. I'm a visual auditory kinesthetic. Words of affirmation are big in my world. So therefore, if my wife wants to fill my love tanks, wants to build my emotional bank account, she needs to do it more in that way. If I want to build hers, I hang out with her, I do talk. If she's doing a basic chore around the house, doing it with her is all about making sure that she feels that she's being loved. Okay? So I bring this up because a very big part of being in a relationship is building the other person up and picking them up. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, let's think about it. If my spouse feels great about themselves, then how good is life? If my spouse feels amazing, feels good, feels confident, feels appreciated, feels sexy, feels wanted, feels loved, if my spouse feels all of those things, then amazingly enough, I'm going to have a much better life, you know? It is not crazy that the saying, happy wife, happy life, is still around today. You know, happy husband also is important. The interesting thing is, men operate a fair bit more, and this is a generalization, but men often operate more on the respect scale, and women operate more on the love scale. And so, it's a simple one where I see it happen in relationships where it can be simple, because the man is looking for respect in the majority of cases, a level of respect, job well done, thanks for taking care of the bills, or thanks for doing this, or, you know, excellent work, the respect factor. Whereas there's more of the female looking for the love factor. Now, again, it's a gross generalization. It's probably a little sexist and a little outdated. However, there's a reason it's been around for a while, because it still kind of sits there and is still very much part of it. That doesn't mean men don't want love and women don't want respect. It's just if there was a tendency, it would be in that direction. So, when we look at building people up or filling their emotional tanks, making sure they feel good about themselves and making sure that they feel great about how they are in the relationship, that they're needed, they're wanted, they're desired, all of these different aspects of the relationship. That's what builds a great relationship. The love tanks are full, you know, we're giving them love in the way they feel they need it, and we're making sure that they feel good about them. See, you're never going to beat someone down into loving you more. You're never going to give them negative comments to make them want to be with you even more. If you want someone to want to be in a relationship with you more, you got to build them up. You got to be positive with them. You know, and this works for kids, it works for adults, it works for your spouse, it works for your partner. You know, having a relationship is not about you. Having a relationship, if we go to it and look, a relationship is a commitment, and that's really a very big part of it. You know, you hear the word trust thrown around and all these things, but a relationship is a commitment. I'm committing to you. A marriage is a commitment for the rest of time, and people need to feel that type thing. And I know in today's world that's changing a bit, and I know it has in my life even been had to change. But the commitment factor is what people are looking for. Are you committed to this? Are you 100% in? Are you doing it? You know, are you part of this team? Because it's really the most important team in the world is you and your spouse. And I know your kids are important, but guess what? The kids eventually leave. You're still there with your spouse. You know, you've got to build a solid foundation, a solid example for those kids, solid relationship for them to see. So how do we do that? Well, let's get to the first thing. Know your partner, okay? Know them well. What size clothes do they wear? What color are their eyes? You know, what's their favorite drink, their favorite food, their, you know, what are the things about your spouse? Play 20 questions with your spouse on a more regular basis. You know, it's crazy. My wife will always tell you the story. You know, for me, dating was not fun in my mid-30s. I mean, it was kind of fun, but it was kind of, wow, this has changed since I was a kid. And I remember just, I would go on a date and I'd say, well, why don't we just play 20 questions? And it was kind of a thing, and my wife thought it was kind of kitschy, but, you know, in the end, I got to know the person. Play 20 questions with your spouse more often. Get to know them. Get to understand them. What are their dreams and goals? How often are you talked about that stuff? Maybe 30X has got you talking about dreams and goals with your spouse for the first time in ever. But learn together, grow together, understand more about them, get to know them as much as you can about them. It's a very big part of being committed, is knowing as much as you can. Set goals together. I mean, it's crazy that you look at a relationship where they don't have any goals of stuff they want to achieve together. You know, whether it's wealth goals, health goals, family goals, relationship goals, achievement goals, business goals. But having a set of goals that you have together brings a relationship closer together. It can only help when you have goals within the relationship of what you want to achieve and when you want to achieve it by. It brings you together and helps you stay with that. Now, if you're going to be committed to it, then you need to be a great partner. This sometimes means picking up on life skills, getting better at life skills, learning to be better financially, learning to be better at health, learning to be better at being a partner, managing the bank account, dealing with wills and trusts and estates and companies and these things. Sometimes the best way to be a great partner is to add more skills to your life so that you can add more value to the relationship. If you're not learning anything new, you're not adding more value to the relationship, and the relationship isn't getting stronger or getting better. Remember the old learning of if you're not growing, you're dying. Relationships need to grow. In order for a relationship to grow, you got to try new things, do new things, add more value, become a better person, learn this stuff. So as a partner, are you adding more value as a partner to this relationship than you were before? Oftentimes, when I see struggles in a relationship, it's because someone's not growing. If one partner is growing and the other partner isn't growing, that relationship is going to struggle at some point. Why? Because one person is starting to grow and do bigger and more things and is spreading out and doing other stuff, and the other partner is staying in the same little circle. This person's circle is getting bigger, getting more influence, more knowledge, more learnings, a bigger circle of friends, a bigger group of people, and this person's staying the same. You know, unless that's your agreement, I see challenges in that relationship going forward. The growth of the relationship is two people growing, not just one person growing. Now, can someone grow and the other then catch up, and then the other person grow and the other catch up? Absolutely. But being a great partner is about always adding value to the relationship, adding value to the team, and that's really what it is. It's a two-person team in that case. Okay. So, let's take a look then at the relationship and some of the things that we need to understand about relationships. So here's my top 13 things that we need to look at. Number one, there will be conflict. Okay? You and your spouse will have disagreements. You've just got to make sure that it doesn't become a race to the bottom. It doesn't become an attack the human. Okay? When the conflict turns into attacking the person is when it becomes negative to the relationship. Okay? Conflict is good if it's conflict of ideas, conflict of opinions. Conflict is not good when it becomes a personal attack. So if you notice in your relationship that you move to personal attack, that's what we call a race to the bottom. It's who can become the most hurt first, or who can become the worst off, or who can become the... And you know this because you see people saying things like, well, I'm the worst person. Oh, obviously I'm the... You know, you hate me, and oh, I may as well just leave. That is called the race to the bottom. Okay, and the race to the bottom never solves anything for anybody. You got to learn how in conflict to not have total negativity happening in the conflict. How do we do that? By staying in the conflict of I. Okay, stop using the word you this, you that. If you go into blame in a conflict in a relationship, you're going to end up with a challenge. If I go into a conflict and something happens, I go, well, you did this, and you did that, and you didn't do this, then they have to come back with you, you, you. Instead of, if you walk in and you use the conflict, well, I am feeling a little bit attacked right now. I'm feeling misunderstood. I'm feeling like I communicated incorrectly. You know, that way, it's all on you. So don't push it onto them. Next thing. A big part of a relationship is accepting the other person for who they are. Not trying to change them, not trying to cajole them to be different, not trying to do that. You married this person, you chose to date this person, you did not choose to change them. They didn't come to you going, hey, please give me therapy so I can change. You are not in a therapy relationship, okay? You are in a relationship with someone that you have to learn to accept, hey, that's one of their 10 negatives. Got it, you know? Now, if it is a negative like that it is takes away from the family, like they've got a gambling addiction or an alcohol or a drug addiction, no, those are not things you need to accept, okay? Differences we need to accept. Things that actually harm the family, we don't need to accept that sort of stuff, okay? And next, a big part of it, compromise. A big part of relationships is compromise. And I know we love to think that everything is going to be win-win and we can always find a win-win lesson. Sometimes in relationships, you just got to give it up. Sometimes you just got to go eat Indian food because that's what your spouse wants to eat. Okay? If you don't want to eat Indian food, they do. Sometimes you just go, you know what? Let's just go eat Indian food. Compromise is a part of a successful relationship. Next one. Know that they are not perfect. You are not perfect. They are not perfect. They're going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. Okay? See, this segment of this 30X on relationship is really a very simple one. These first four things that we've looked at is, hey, I got to actually just ease up a little. I got to just relax. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be exactly what I want every single time. And I also have to get what I want some of the time. Okay? That's part of being a partner in the relationship, not just... The one of the two members. Empathy, big part of relationships, okay? Empathizing with other people, seeing the world from their situation. You know, most of the time, and if you read John Gray's work, Men Are from Mars and Women Are from Venus, you start to understand a little bit of that whole respect, love thing, but you also start to understand there's different ways we need communication. There's different ways we need empathy. And, you know, very simply put, I know as a man I want to try and fix things, and when my wife speaks 99% of the time, all she wants me to do is listen and repeat back to her what she said. You know, I'm having a bad time with this friend of mine, and this is going on, and that's happening. You know what, honey, I'm sorry you're having a bad time with that friend of yours. I'm sorry that that stuff's going on in your life. You know, can we go out for dinner tonight and feel better about life? Or, do you know what I mean? It's just about empathy. Understand the world from their shoes. The crazy thing is, and John Gray puts it great in his book, where he talks about the garbage can theory, where literally because we're so close to our spouse, we feel like we can dump on them more than anybody else. Because we know we're safe with them, we feel like dumping on them is an okay thing to do. And eventually you'll learn that dumping on your spouse is the craziest thing to do. You know, yeah, they're there to listen, they're there to support you, but if you dump on them, eventually they're going to get to a point where they don't want to listen no more. They don't want to be in communication with you anymore. So keep that one there. Massive part of communication in relationships is listening to understand. Okay? Don't listen to them so that you can come back with a sharper, smarter, wittier, harder, harsher comment. We listen to our spouse and we shut up. Biggest challenge in listening is just shut up. Stop talking. Listen. Listen to understand. Ask more questions. Oh, really? Oh, what else? See, we've talked about this in 30X before, but we need to be very clear on it in a relationship with someone, okay? Next big part of relationship, assume the positive. When your spouse says something to you, assume they mean that in the nicest possible way. Stop assuming that they mean it in a negative way, okay? Your spouse, they're your partner in life. They probably mean it in a good way. Assume that. Take what they're saying from a positive, take it in that positive way. Next big part of relationship is cooperation. And asking for help. You know, be willing to ask for help. Cooperate when they ask for help. Be the savior if they need that type of thing. You know, you've got to sit there and start thinking about the fact that cooperation is part of a team. I've seen people who speak worse to their spouse than they do to their teammates at work. They speak worse to their spouse or their kids than they do to a customer in their business. That's crazy. Don't ever speak to your spouse or your kids worse than you would speak to a customer. You know, this is a foreign person. You don't even know them. Why would you yell at your kids but not yell at a customer? If you don't yell at your staff, don't yell at your wife. You know, these are things that we have to understand. Cooperation, ask for help, very important. Next thing, define your roles. Yes, it's a bit business-oriented. Yes, it is a bit, you know, well, I don't know if I want to do that. Well, you kind of need to if you want to have a good relationship. Whose job is what? You know, whose job is it to do the Christmas card address book? Whose job is it to take out the trash? Whose job is it to do these things? If we have to, you know, define, once we've defined it, we know it. It doesn't cause conflict anymore. If there's a job in your house that sort of causes conflict, let's define who's doing it and how it needs to be done and just get it done that way. You know, it's one of those amazing things. When people's love tanks are full, they want to do more of it for you. When people's love tanks and when they know what they're supposed to do, it happens. Next thing you got to look at in your relationship, and especially in the social media age, is social pressure. You know, what are the social pressures that are coming on your spouse? What are the social pressures on your husband to perform? What are the social pressures on your wife when it comes to all of her girlfriends are doing X and is she going to be able to do that? And, you know, you've got to examine what social pressures, and it's peer pressures, it's social media pressures is today a big part of it. And what I look for in this is I start to look at what are the things that make sure that, because my spouse is still an individual. My wife is still an individual. And my individual wife still needs to have her own identity. She still needs to have her girls' lunches. And I need to have my boys' nights out. You know, she wants to go away for a ski trip with the girls. Great. How do we make sure that we can maintain our individuality and that the social need to be individual? You know, it's kind of crazy when you watch that movie with Tom Cruise and there's like, you complete me. It's like, I kind of look at that and think, well, were you like half a person beforehand? I'm not sure that works. Two individuals make a great relationship. It's not the relationship is great. It's two individuals who have their own great. There are times when I love going to work because I get to be Brad Sugars. I don't get to be Lauren's husband, and I don't get to be the kid's dad. And, you know, I'm not that. I'm Brad. And there's times when she does her charity work where she gets to be Lauren, and no one even knows me. And when I go to those charity things, I say, oh, you're Lauren's husband. And that's fantastic to be that way. You know, understand that there is a need to be individual and a need to be together, okay? And I love it when my wife goes and has girls' lunches and does that stuff because she comes back more full, more in touch with who she is and more happy and more loving life. And it makes her a better partner within our relationship. And she likes it when I go do those things. Now I go and play golf with the guys. I come back more appreciative of my wife and my kids and stuff. It's important to remember that. On that, we have a simple rule, date night every week. You know, every week is date night, and we take it in turns who organizes date night. You know, I organize it 1 week, she organizes it the next week, and we always try and do something new on date night, always go somewhere different, always go somewhere new to us, go to a different show or a different restaurant or a different bar or a different whatever it is to have new things. And sometimes we come away with great stories, other times we come away with great experiences. You know, my wife is well known for picking the worst Malaysian Korean barbecue place in the world. And it's just one of those stories that date night will never be lived down, that you just sort of have that fun stuff that's just the two of you, without the kids, without friends, without family. It's just the two of you where you two can connect. And on date night, we also have a simple rule of not talking about the kids. This is not about the kids. This is about us, what's going on in our lives. Because if all we do is talk about the kids, it's just like a board meeting type thing. It's not a date night. Got to have date night and be like it was date night when you were kids and dating. You know, I want to go back to social media and phones and that stuff. And how does that either both impact or create challenge in relationship? I know that for us, one of the most important things is no technology in the bedroom. You know, you just leave the phones outside or over in another part of the room so they're not by the bed. So there's no going to bed and doing social media. There's going to bed and talking to each other. There's going to bed with your spouse. And TV even is not in the bedroom because there's no going to bed watching TV. It's like, you know, you go to bed, you talk to your spouse. It might be the only 10 minutes of quiet time you get without kids and without friends and family for the day before you fall asleep. Now, finally, I want to finish up with the Greek definition of the word love. I think it's really important for us to look at, you know, history and where these things have come from. But the Greek have three words for love, okay? And I think that they're all important. Eros, meaning the erotic love. Of course, you know, intimacy is a major part of an intimate relationship. It just is. And I think that working on that and being compatible on that, if there's lack of compatibility there, then you need to work on it. You need to read some books, go study, go take some counseling, whatever it needs to be. Chat with each other about it. Too many relationships, they don't even want to chat about these things. It's like, hang on, you got to talk about money. You got to talk about schooling and religion. And you got to talk about intimacy. If you're not having the conversation, then it's, you know, the relationship starts falling apart from there. Conversations is what keeps a relationship together. Having date nights and having that quiet time before you go to bed, this is a part of giving yourself communication time. Philios is the second Greek word for love. Basically centered around friendship. You know, your spouse needs to be a great friend. Don't treat your spouse better. You know, your spouse is your best friend in the world and needs to be treated that way. So make sure you treat him as a great friend, not just a great spouse. Remember, don't ever speak to your spouse any way you wouldn't speak to a friend or to a staff member or a customer type thing. And finally, agape. Put them first, basically, is the essence of that third Greek word. they come first. If you're in a relationship and you love that person, then yeah, there's eros. Yes, there's philios, but there's agape. They come first. Put their needs before the needs of yours. They'll do the same with you. Everybody ends up happy. Listen, relationships take work. They're not the easiest thing in the world, but they're also not the hardest thing in the world. Learn about relationships. Learn about your spouse. Learn about your partner. And understand how to make it work. They're different to you, and that's a great thing. Celebrate the differences. Celebrate the 10 positives, the 10 negatives. And know that communication, very important part of it. Listen. Listen well. Make sure you fill their love tanks. Or, as we say, make sure the emotional bank account is full. Take care. This is 30X. Be back with you tomorrow, day 20. Let's do this.